Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. God's grace be with you this day. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that you send your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to us. We are grateful for Jesus' devotion to you. Lord, grant us open hearts, open minds, as we listen to you today, that we may anchor our lives upon you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As a young child, there weren't a lot of sweets at home. One day, I was allured by the red ruby-like jelly in the fridge. They were placed in an elegant glass jar. Dad had made it to share in the family. But I was tempted, and I couldn't resist. Instead of waiting, I took several sneaky bites. I sneak up to the fridge and feast on the jelly. I was so happy, but oops, I dropped the jar and it broke. Not only was the jar broken, trust and boundaries were also broken. Now the sweet treat is gone, and no one made this red ruby-like jelly in a glass jar anymore. Today's topic is feasting on God's word in the desert. Jesus showed us to trust God's provision instead of grabbing what is tempting us. She showed us how to overcome temptation by relying on God's word. Last week's sermon was Matthew chapter 3. The chapter concluded with baptism of Jesus, where God called him his beloved son. Looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11 today, Jesus is in the wilderness. He is preparing for his divine calling. his identity as the Son of God is tested and challenged. He faces three temptations: to turn stone into bread, to jump off the temple, and to worship the devil for the world's kingdom. Jesus overcomes temptation by feasting and trusting on God's word. Jesus is like a hungry traveler in the desert. He feasts on God's truth. He did not take any shortcuts. He turns his dependence on his Father, and he turned to God at all times. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for testing. This is after his baptism and before he begins his ministry. In this passage, the devil aims to get Jesus to act against the will of his Father. So tempt is the right word and the right meaning. But the same verb also means to test. This word test was used by those who came to Jesus with difficult questions. They hoped to trap him. The Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, and the devil tests Jesus according to the purpose of God. All this testing are under the sovereignty of God. Jesus' 40 days and 40 nights reminds us of Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness. God tested Israel to find out what was in their heart, whether or not they will obey God's commandment. Israel failed miserably, but Jesus proved faithful. Jesus did not succumb to the testing. He arose victorious. How about you? What is your desert experience like? The first test is to turn stones into bread. Jesus is in the wilderness. The Jewish thought of wilderness at that time carried positive connotation. To be in the wilderness was to prepare for a new beginning with God. It was a time of solitude and retreat. Wilderness also refers to testing, tempting, dryness, and encountering God in the seasons of our lives. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus is hungry after 40 days of fasting. There is a lack of resources in the wilderness, and Jesus is surrounded by stones. Here comes the devil. The devil challenges Jesus' identity and his relationship with his Father. He uses an imperative and authoritative command. In verse 3, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The devil tries to challenge the miraculous power of Jesus. If Jesus was the Son of God, surely he has a power to do so. Jesus is not going to be instigated by the devil. He responded with scriptures. In verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6 to 8 was part of Moses' address to the Israelites. He addressed them before they enter Canaan. He was reminding them of their 40 years of wilderness experience. One of the lessons in the wilderness was to trust God's provisions of manna. the children of Israel were given daily manna, and they needed to trust that it will appear every day. It wasn't in their control, and they weren't allowed to keep any overnight. But they grumble against Moses and against God that they didn't get meat. God's lesson for them was not to depend on bread alone, but rather on God's word. They were tested on their obedience to God. Jesus overcomes the temptation to turn bread into stone by the word of God. Do you recall how your faith in God has helped you overcome temptations? Ruth Chang was a vibrant 28-year-old doctor. In 2025, she received a devastating news: an aggressive blood cancer. As she navigated the complexities of treatment and uncertainty, a pressing question haunted her. If God doesn't heal me, will I still proclaim He is loving and faithful? In her darkest moments, Ruth did not succumb to despair and defeat, but sorrow filled her prayers. She clung herself to God's word, finding comfort in His promises. She chose to trust God's sovereignty. Ruth underwent numerous procedures, biopsies, radiotherapies, and one stem cell transplant. She's now in the fourth cycle of her immunotherapy and continues to trust God. She shared, "In the past 2.5 years, God has been teaching me to slow down. We, she and her husband, pray every night and take it one day, one step at a time. Psalm 91 became my war cry, Psalm 23, my comfort, and Philippians 4, my response." Ruth's courage and faith have shown us that trust in God's word can anchor us in life's storms. Charles Spurgeon was an English Reformed Baptist. He remains highly influential among Christians of various denominations. He wrote, "The word of God is the spiritual armor of the Christian by which he is made strong to resist the attacks of his enemies." Spurgeon says that God's word is the Christian spiritual armor. It gives us strength to resist the enemy's attacks. It equips believers to stand firm against life's challenges and spiritual battles. What does feasting on God's word in deserts of uncertainty look like? Next slide. Here are some desert questions. In career or job uncertainty, you wonder, what's next? In financial fog, you ask, how will I make ends meet? While waiting for God's timing, you ask, when? There are anxiety and worries in uncertainty. Temptation lures job over family and God. Temptations lures shortcuts over values. Temptations lure us to depression, stealing our joy. We can feast on God's word and fill up daily by His truth. Scripture provides guidance, comfort, and direction. Jesus overcame the temptation by turning stones into bread. Jesus overcame the temptation to turn stones into bread by turning to God's word. He did not go for quick and instant fixes. Like Jesus, we choose God's word as our food in uncertainty. Not only does Jesus trust in God's word, he also depends on God in the second test. The second test is to jump off the temple. This time, the devil brings Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. It is suggested that this transportation is not physical, but visionary. There in the wilderness, Jesus finds himself on top of the temple. This is a high part of a temple. A fall might be fatal. Again, the devil draws on the assumed privilege of a son of God. Jesus' loyalty as a son of his father is again tested here. But in this second test, the devil quotes scriptures just like Jesus. If Jesus can quote scriptures, so can he. The devil quotes Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12. He said in verse 6, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12 is God's promise of protection for those in dangerous situation. We don't purposely put ourselves in danger to test if God will save us. That is foolishness. The devil is tempting Jesus to act through the power of his faith. He's asking Jesus to deliberately put himself in danger, and God will be obliged to act to save his beloved son. This will not be an act of God's protection. It will be the reverse, where Jesus proved his power. But Jesus knows that he don't need to show off to prove that he was the Son of God. Were there times when you put yourself in harmful way or prideful way to prove God's care? How have you forced God's hands? Again, Jesus quotes scripture. Jesus quotes scripture against scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16. In verse 7, he says, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus will not force God's hands. If he were to put God to the test, it will show that he lacks filial trust and doubt his father's competence. But Israelites did just that when they were thirsty in the wilderness. They quarreled and tested the Lord. "Is the Lord among us or not?" And they demanded a miraculous provision of water. Moses rebuked them, saying, "Why do you test the Lord?" Next slide. J.C. Ryle was an English Anglican bishop, a preacher and a writer. He wrote, We must not put God to the test, demanding signs or proofs of his care. We shouldn't demand proof or signs from God to test his care for us. Instead, we should always trust him. We don't ask him to prove himself, just trust in him. Next slide. When I first became a Christian, I was so excited. I shared with my close friend over a seafood dinner at the East Coast. There was a big round table, and five of us were seated in a circle. My friends were not believers. One of them commented that it was just a fad. It will soon go away. In my enthusiasm, I continue and talk about my faith and my relationship with God. The same friend then exclaimed, "If your God is so good, ask him to give you a pass in your exam." I was taken aback. At that time, I was struggling with a part-time course and a full-time job. I was trying very hard to complete my assignments and study for my exam. Well, no, I dare not twist God's hands and put him to a test. I felt a moment of dryness and pressure. I sat down quietly and had my dinner. Many years have since passed. Faith in God is not a fad or a thing, or just coming to church on a Sunday morning. Faith in God is life in God, having him as the anchor of my life, allowing his word to guide my thoughts, my lips, and my action. Many times I fail, but I continue to tend to the presence of God in my life and go to him for repentance and renewal. How does feasting on God's word in deserts of dryness mean to you? How can we tend our dependence on God? We meditate on God's promises when facing relationship problems. We trust in the Lord amid work-life juggle and responsibilities. We reflect on finding hope in aging and health challenges. We recognize our vulnerability and the need for God's strength. We tend dependence by trusting God's timing and his ways. Jesus overcomes the temptation to test God. He satisfies his soul with scripture and not demand proof. Like Jesus, the Son of God, we learn to rely on God, not proofs. So, tend your dependence on God's faithfulness and turn to God alone. At all times, Jesus turns to God. The third test is to worship the devil for the world's kingdom. Jesus is in an unspecified mountain. The transportation is again visionary. This time, the devil uses a promise instead of giving an authoritative command. The devil offers allegiance to Jesus. He offers him a feast of glory and power. Verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I give to you if you will fall down and worship me." This is a temptation for Jesus to take a shortcut, an easy way out. Jesus wouldn't have to suffer and die if he could get the world by just kneeling down. At the end of the three testings, Jesus responded with a command. "Be gone, Satan!" The devil tests Jesus but fails. So Jesus sent him away with a command. This shows his victory and authority. Again, Jesus uses a scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. In verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Jesus exhibits the faithful obedience of the Son to the Father. He worshiped God alone and served him only. In all the testings, Jesus exhibits trust, obedience, and faithfulness. These are the qualities called for in sonship to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. And in verse 11, in God's timing, God feeds Jesus. Richard Sibbes was an Anglican theologian. He's known as a biblical exegete. He wrote, "God alone can fill every corner of the soul of a man." In the context of temptation, this quote means, life's deserts or allurements will tempt you with, this will fill the void. Just do this and you will be saved. There'll be no harm. You deserve this. But God alone is the fill. He will meet all our needs. Other fields, like relationship, authority, ambition, can't satisfy our deep soul. Like Jesus, we choose God's filling over lesser fields and resist temptation of power and hunger. The Christian leaders in Malaysia responded to Philip Yancey's infidelity confession with, "Stay humble, be on guard, look only to Christ." The author Philip Yancey made his confession on 6 January this year. He emailed to Christianity Today, a Christian media ministry, that he will retire from speaking and writing. He said his focus is now on rebuilding trust and restoring his marriage. The article exhorts the readers to navigate struggles in marriage by turning to God alone for healing and restoration, looking to Christ for strength and forgiveness, seeking God to build trust, and depending on God's grace and word. Next slide. What does feasting on God's word in deserts of family and marriage look like? Are you drained by family conflict, trying to fix others, or your marriage feels dry? What does it look like when you turn to God? praying to God for a relationship to improve. Feast on God's love for you. Pray for God to soften our hearts towards one another. Meditate on God's faithfulness. Pray for the marriage and listen to what God has to say. Cry out to God like the psalmist. God's word will nourish you. And God's word never contradicts. Next slide. Jesus chooses God's word over the devil's offer. And in whatever deserts, turn our hearts to God alone. In conclusion, today we learn from Jesus to feast on God's word in life deserts. We learn not to depend on bread alone, but rather on God's word. Not to put God to the test, but depend on God. And to make God the exclusive object of our worship and obedience. What's the desert you are facing? How can you feast on God's word in that desert? How can you feast on God's word in that desert? Amen.